You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of MLB. Host Aaron Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vin Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and solo for a quick second here. We hosted a Spotify Green Room yesterday, and we talked about potential trade ideas at pitcher and position player. We talked a little bit about the second half, and we got into a couple other things. So going to get into that right now. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's hop into the green room.
Did you see the thing on Twitter today, Vince? The guy saying that Charlie Morton could be a target for the Dodgers?
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that. And you know, he was a guy that I know I saw someone say, you know, no 2017 Astros. I know the Dodgers got to Morton in the postseason last year, but we've talked about this a lot where, you know, Morton, while he was part of it, you know, I guess I could give pitchers a slight pass. You don't want to be the person snitching in the middle of a season. Fears did it after. And, yeah, so I don't really have too much hate toward Charlie Morton specifically. And, you know, in terms of giving the Dodgers 5-6 innings every fifth day for the rest of the season, he's a big boost in terms of are they going to need a fourth guy in the postseason depending on health and depending on what happens with the Trevor Bauer situation. You would imagine that, you know, you could do a lot worse than Charlie Morton as your four guy if that's what you absolutely needed.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts too. You know, if you are going to go with the 2017 Astro, picking one of the guys who wasn't actually one of the cheaters is the way to go. And yeah, like if the Dodgers offense shows up in October, then, you know, Charlie Morton is kind of the perfect fit. We a guy you can count on to go, you know, six innings and allow two or three runs and, you know, just kind of keep the team in the game and let the offense do what the offense does. And so, you know, he's not like, he's not at the top of my wish list, but he would definitely be, if he was the only acquisition the Dodgers made, I'd probably consider it a little bit of a letdown, but if he was part of their plan, part of who they end up getting, one of the guys, then I think I'd totally be on board with it.
Yeah. I'm just looking at his stats. He's 18 games, 3.64 ERA, 99 innings pitched, a whip of 1.1. 114 strikeouts in those 99 innings. So he's still having a pretty solid season. The Braves were already in dire straits before the Ronald Acuna injury. So with the guy like him on a one-year deal, it makes a lot of sense for them to try to get some type of value back. So in terms of availability, he's probably one of the more available guys that wouldn't cost too much. So that's another benefit there. You know, just other guys mentioned, you know, we've talked about Scherzer, we've talked about Jose Berrios, we've talked about Kenta Maeda, Kyle Gibson's another one who's on the Rangers. We've talked about a bunch of these guys, and those are probably, at least Scherzer for sure is above Morton, Berrios, just because he's young and dynamic, probably above him too. But then Morton kind of sits there, you know, even though Kyle Gibson had an all-star season, he's not necessarily an all-star pitcher. He might just be a guy that's having a really good first half, and if you take him out of where he's at, it doesn't always mean that he's going to pitch as well when he comes to anywhere else. So yeah, there's a lot of guys out there. I don't know if you have any other names or want to express your thoughts on any of those other names I mentioned.
Yeah, the other name that I see coming up is Danny Duffy from the Royals. You know, and he's kind of, you know, Duffy is kind of in that tier with, in my mind anyway, with Gibson. Like Yeah, he's probably solid. And, you know, if we're talking about adding a fifth starter to get through the season, yeah, that's, you know, I'd be cool with either of those guys. And, you know, Kyle Gibson might actually be really good. And I do think the Rangers probably learned their lesson by not trading Mike Minor or Lance Lynn as soon as they should have. So I assume that they will trade Kyle Gibson. You know, going back to the Morton thing, the Braves, they're 4 games out of first place right now. And I was looking at their schedule between now and the trade deadline, and they play the Rays and then the Padres and then the Phillies and then the Mets. And so it's like two really good teams and then two teams that are ahead of them in the standings, or at least who they're battling with in the NL East. And so there's a decent chance that by the trade deadline, the Braves could be, you know, 7 or 8 games out of first place, and you know, the National League East isn't going to get a wild card team. So it seems like the Braves are likely to be sellers, whether they are today or not. I don't know, but I said kind of jokingly on Twitter last week, and not everybody realized that I was being a little facetious. I said the Dodgers should trade for Scherzer and Luis Castillo and Kimbrel, and then they should just go with piggyback starts in the postseason. And so basically have 6 starters and 2 closers and just have your 3 starters go 4 innings each, you know, piggybacking, and then a closer for the 9th inning, and just do that all postseason. And then you only need 8 pitchers. And, you know, while I was joking about that, you know, I think you can never have too much pitching, especially when you're in the Dodgers situation. And so I am on board with them going after as many of these guys that we've listed as they can, because even if you end up using, you know, say Danny Duffy in long relief in the postseason, well, great. You know, now you've got a guy who can go 3 or 4 innings if he needs to in a game, and just kind of piece together those games. So basically I'm in favor of the Dodgers getting all of the good pitchers.
Yeah, the more the merrier. And when they're in a spot that they've been in a few seasons before, where you can go the route of gauge what pricing is and what it's going to cost and price acquisition, and see, you know, if it's cheaper to get a bunch of relievers and just shore up your pitching staff that way, then go right ahead. If it's cheaper to get starting pitchers, and go ahead and do that way. With Bueller, Kershaw, and Julio, those are 3 established starting pitchers. You could do a lot worse than that, and they wouldn't really face anyone better at the moment right now, other than maybe the Padres, assuming health of the top 3 with that. And we saw them last year, you know, the 4th game kind of just became a bullpen game type anyways, just with ineffectiveness and then by actual how they wanted to play it. So it's a matter of, you know, if it costs less to go get 3 relievers extra, then, and maybe one of them's a multi-inning reliever, then go about it that way. If it costs less to go get a couple starters and maybe one of them ends up in the bullpen in the postseason, then you go about it that way. And with Friedman, I mean, it's obviously easy to say, oh, we need, you know, 2 starters and maybe another reliever. But with him and with the way the postseason has gone for not just the Dodgers, but a lot of teams in recent years, you're building the best pitching staff you can, and then you'll just deal with it as you go along.
Yeah, and I guess my one quibble with that would be that relievers are much more finicky than starters. It's a lot harder to
which
know.
Which is why it would be cheaper.
Yeah, it would be cheaper. But, you know, it's a lot harder to be confident, okay, this guy who we're acquiring is going to be really good for us the rest of the season and in October, if the guy you're acquiring is a reliever, just because relievers are so temperamental and up and down so often.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. It's available in 9 flavors, and Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. If you know someone that chews or you chew, then you need to get on Fully Loaded Chew right now. All the things you enjoy about traditional smokeless products without tobacco. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. And right now, go to fullyloadedchew.com for a special that we are offering Locked On Dodgers listeners. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just $1 and free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, fullyloadedchew.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders a part on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution for your auto part needs and choose to spend 30 to 50, maybe even 100% less for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership. Rock Auto is a family business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And right now, go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Any of these pitchers we've mentioned or anybody we didn't mention? I see Sal is off mute. What do you think, Sal?
Yeah, I guess it's just a Charlie Morton comment. I guess I'd still feel a little conflicted, I guess, for his first couple of starts, probably whether to cheer boo when he goes on the mound, even though he wasn't banging the trash can. I'd still probably consider him an accessory since he didn't say anything about it. But I'm sure he gives a few good starts and be cheering as loud as anybody else.
Yeah, I definitely get that perspective on Morton. I am inclined to give pitchers more of a pass. But yeah, I mean, I think it would be hard to be the one to blow the whistle. The reason I don't get like Altuve, I believe that Altuve didn't use the cheating as much as some people. And I even believe when they say that he didn't want the banging on the trash can, the reason I'm less inclined to give him a pass is because he was a multi-time all-star, you know, batting champion. He had the clubhouse pull to have been able to do something about that. I don't know that Charlie Morton, who was a good pitcher for them that year, but not like a team leader. I don't know that he would have had that clubhouse cachet to be able to put a stop to it. But yeah, I totally get being conflicted about any 2017 Astro. You talk about non-pitchers who we might want the Dodgers to target, Vince.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know Chris Bryant's been a name mentioned, and it comes, you know, right now it comes at a weird time because they don't necessarily need anyone in the infield. And then A.J. Pollock is coming off of Player of the Week honors, although we've seen A.J. Pollock have hot streaks and then have seen A.J. Pollock be very, very low streaks. So he's a guy who, you know, it's possible another way the Dodgers can go about it is if pitching is at a premium, then they go maybe and try to boost the offense and try to hope to score five plus runs a game in the postseason rather in the rest of the season rather than, you know, run scoring more than run prevention. That's another possible route to go. You know, there's other guys out there necessarily, you know, Pujols has kind of filled that role of the right-handed bat to start against lefties or to come in late in the game, even in other situations. You know, it's just a matter of they can boost the bench a little bit. You know, Matt Beatty has had an up and down season and it's hard for maybe Andrew Friedman or them or these guys to think like, okay, well, we trust Matt Beatty and we think he'll be a good clutch hitter again. But I don't know if there's someone out there that's available that's an upgrade from him bat-wise and maybe he's a rental and it's not going to cost them that much prospect-wise and they go after that and say, you know what, sorry, Matt Beatty or whoever else, you got to go down. McKinstry's one who seems to be, you know, he started hot, has been a little – Colton's coming back. It's you know, hard to put trust in these guys sometimes. And I had mentioned even before the season that losing Kike and Jock wouldn't hurt so much in the regular season over the course of 162, but it would hurt a little bit in the postseason just because they did have moments that were, you know, clutch moments, and they did have, you know, they were able to they weren't shrinking in the moment. You know, if they didn't hit, it wasn't necessarily because they were shrinking in the moment. They just weren't as good hitters, but they were always able to step up. So they can find other guys. You know, David Freese comes to mind a couple other years, and Chase Elliott was kind of supposed to be that guy before that. And I don't know any names. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of teams that are on the bubble, but a guy, you know, I don't think there's any guys that are going to come in and be a starter for the Dodgers who they go get. I think it's just going to be helping the margins.
Yeah, and that's the tricky part is because it's hard to find a bench player who's good, you know, like especially on a team that's selling, you know, if you're and so in a lot of ways it would be acquiring a starter and saying, okay, now you're a part-timer, but you have a chance to win a World Series instead of playing for the Pirates or whoever it is, you know. But yeah, I don't know, like when you look at AJ Pollock, it's hard to know what to expect from him. I think he's the first player in history to win Player of the Week in a week in which we devoted a segment to him being benched. You know, so Pollock, I don't know if he's going to be good. I still would feel a lot more comfortable if Pollock faced mostly left-handers and occasionally a right-hander who doesn't have a good slider. Because you even look, you know, he did do better last week after those seven straight strikeouts or whatever. He did do better at laying off a couple of sliders from righties and making them throw him a fastball in the strike zone. And that was where he was successful, but I'm not totally confident that he can keep that up. But you know, then when you look at guys who, you know, Chris Bryant is not really the kind of guy I would want the Dodgers to target right now, because Chris Bryant's biggest flaw as a hitter is he strikes out a ton. And I don't think that's what we're looking for on the Dodgers, even with the high upside potential. I don't think a guy who strikes out 180 times a year is necessarily at the top of their wish list. Look at a guy like Castellanos from the Reds. I mean, he would be an AJ Pollock replacement. And, you know, AJ Pollock has been pretty good overall this year. And so it's like, is he enough of an upgrade offensively to make up for maybe being a downgrade defensively? And, you know, what you'd have to give up to get him. And so I do think when you look at it, it really is adding on the margins. Actually, one name that came to my mind, a teammate of Chris Bryant's who you just mentioned, Jock Peterson. You know, he's on a one-year deal with the Cubs. He's on an expiring deal. If the Cubs are selling, do the Dodgers go after Jock? And you know, to have him as that platoon partner for Pollock again, you know, Jock didn't re-sign with the Dodgers because he wanted to have a chance to play every day. Well, he doesn't have any say in where he gets traded to. And so, you know, I could see the Dodgers reacquiring Jock Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. We've kind of joked about it before, but now we've joked about it even when he went to the Cubs originally. And now it's kind of coming to fruition a bit where the Cubs are going to be sellers. It wouldn't make sense for them to keep a guy like Jock who, unless it was just for loyalty because they brought him on and, you know, he wrote that nice story about them and everything else. So that's a guy, you know, another one out there, not necessarily the Dodgers would go after, but just a proposal, you know, a guy like Adam Frazier, who was an all-star for the Pirates. And as either you get him and you put him at second base, Taylor can move around and play where he needs to play. And then it becomes sort of insurance in case Seager either doesn't come back as strong or, you know, somehow re-aggravates it or whatever the case may be. But if Seager does come back, it's one where, do you care about Gavin Lux being the guy? If you can acquire Frazier for cheap and when Seager comes back, it might push Lux out of a lineup.
Yeah, I assume Frazier wouldn't be very cheap. You know, I don't know for sure what the Pirates would be after for him, but I assume he would be expensive. But the concept of having insurance for Seager, I think, is an important thing to think about because, yeah, Seager is going to come back. And, you know, this was a fluke injury. It's not like, you know, if it was a hamstring pull, you might be thinking, okay, is he going to re-aggravate that, whatever. You know, you would think once he's back from the broken hand, he's back. But, you know, there's the question of how effective is he going to be? How long will it take him to refine his swing? What's his defense going to be like? All those things. And so, yeah, I do think it's something they at least have to be aware of. And maybe it's just Chris Taylor in their mind. Chris Taylor is the insurance in case Seager doesn't come back. In the meantime, it's like, I don't know, somebody like Adam Frazier acquiring an infielder who, or even a guy who can play multiple positions, can play all over, which we know the Dodgers like those kind of guys. But acquiring somebody like that so that you can mix and match if Seager doesn't come back and it doesn't contribute the way they're hoping he's going to. It's not like, you know, it's hard to see them actually benching Seager if he comes back and, you know, doesn't hit very well or whatever. I think they're going to give him time, especially in the regular season. But, you know, in October, you got to put your best lineup on the field and, you know, hopefully Seager will be back to full strength and hitting like he did last October. But it has to at least be in the back of Friedman's mind.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Let's head over to Bet Online and take a look at some future bets for the Dodgers. They are currently the overwhelming favorite to win the NL West still at minus 260, which means you'd have to put down $216 in order to win $100 on the Dodgers to win the NL West. So probably not the best bet there if you expect the Dodgers to win the NL West. To win the NL pennant, they are at plus 190, which means a $100 bet wins you $190 on top of that. And they are still the favorite to win the 2021 World Series at plus 360, which means a $100 bet wins you $360 on top of that. Go play some bets or check out anything you want at BetOnline. Head over there right now on your laptop or mobile device, sign up, and receive a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of things they can do. They don't necessarily have the minor leaguers like in the past to come up and maybe fill a role. Ryan Pepio, Andre Jackson, Carrillo had a good stud, I think, today or yesterday. Those are two of those guys are on the 40-man. Pepio's not, but Pepio's been having a solid season. You know, realistically, you're probably not counting on them to really help out, at least in the postseason. Maybe they could come in and help out, eat some innings in the regular season, Josiah Gray as well. And then, you know, on in terms of position players, they don't really have. We've seen the position players that are in AAA that came up and they didn't impress very much, and they were all outfielders anyway. So they don't really have an infielder ready to go. So that could be, you know, whether it's a guy who's a starter on a lower team, and they kind of tell him like, hey, you know what, you're gonna have to sacrifice a little bit, and you would think it might be on a rental type basis, so that it's a lot easier to sacrifice for half the season and maybe get a championship than it is to come to a team where you've seen guys routinely become platoon or part-time players, and it's not always easy for people to, you know, sacrifice that, especially if they haven't had their big contract yet or they're you know, close to coming up to a contract year. So yeah, there's a lot of ways the Dodgers can go about it, and it's going to be an interesting next 2 weeks for not only the Dodgers, but or what are the Giants going to do? Are they going to, you know, go all in on selling? Are they going to, you know, try to add up just a couple complimentary pieces? The Padres are in a weird spot where they have a bunch of guys hurt and they're already falling a little bit back in the division. And, you know, are they going to maybe just say, oh, okay, hopefully everyone gets healthy. We think we're good enough to just win the wild card and go to the one game wild card because the division's starting to fall out a little bit. And then there's just all the other teams that are within. You know, the Reds are a team that were – the Reds and Cubs were – on opposite sides just 2 weeks ago, where the Cubs were maybe buyers and the Reds were maybe sellers, and now the Cubs may be sellers and the Reds might be buyers. So there's still a lot to happen in the next 2 weeks, and hopefully the Nationals keep losing and the Dodgers get Scherzer, and at the very least that'd be a win.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the Giants and Padres are definitely interesting because, like you said, they both probably could use some pitching. You have to assume that Friedman and Farhan probably have similar views on identifying which pitchers to go after, and so they could be directly competing for some of these pitchers. That, you know, the Padres do have, you know, 850 starting pitchers on the injured list right now, and you know they've got Mackenzie Gore who could come up or could be a really nice trade chip if they're going after a big name trade target. You know, so they've got a lot of different options. But yeah, having three teams in the same division who all are likely to be going after starting pitching is going to make it interesting. And then you've got the rest of the league too. You know, if the Yankees are actually still hoping to compete, they're going to have to go after some starting pitching too. I think with the short season last year and the weirdness, I think every team is probably dealing with some injuries to their starting pitching right now. And so it's going to be a seller's market for sure. And so it's going to be a challenge for the Dodgers to get who they want. And they may have to, this is where the fact that Friedman was a small market GM for a long time comes in, that he had to be a little bit more creative sometimes when he didn't have money and, got good at identifying players. And we've seen that in the past with some Friedman acquisitions. I remember when we were hoping that he was going to get some big name, and then he got Tony Watson and Tony Cingrani, and then they both ended up being really good for the Dodgers, And I wouldn't be surprised if there ends up being an underwhelming trade deadline at first, but then we end up saying, turns out Friedman knows what he's doing. But I'm hoping that they get at least one big name and maybe, a couple.
Yeah. All right. So second half underway. Dodgers play the Giants 7 times in the next 2 weeks. Could start to separate themselves or at least get back into first place and then continue to separate themselves. Obviously, health not being the answer. What's one of the biggest keys you're thinking, Jeff, for the second half? Because health is obviously number one.
Yeah, health is definitely number one. For me, the big key is Mookie Betts. If, we've seen, it seems like Mookie might be getting back on track. And we said last week when we were talking about Mookie that it's going to take more than 1 or 2 games. We're going to need to see him for a week or a week and a half before we really are confident, okay, good, Mookie is back. But if Mookie can really get back to, obviously we don't necessarily expect him to be 2018 version of Mookie that was the best player in baseball, but, 2020 version of Mookie would be awesome. And if we can get that version for the second half, that is going to be a huge key because, this Dodgers offense, when Mookie's hitting and, especially when Seager gets back and all that stuff, it is such a deep lineup that there are no breaks, And so right now, at times in the first half, there were some breaks, whether it was because of injury or because, of different hitters struggling or whatever. And I think Mookie getting back to what he can be is a key kind of to setting the tone for the whole lineup and, kicking off that deep, long lineup that pitchers are afraid to pitch to.
Yeah, I mean, Mookie obviously is the straw that stirs the drink. Him and even though he didn't have quite the postseason, he probably would have wanted offensively. He was scoring a bunch of runs. And, once he got on base, he let the other guys do the work, which is a big thing. And if he can just do that and Seager comes back and he's good, and obviously that's a key right there. Cody Bellinger, I've talked about him a lot and people have kind of got on him a little bit for offense. And, he still hasn't played that many games and he's coming off an offseason where he didn't swing the bat at all. So while we thought that him not swinging the bat the whole offseason would have been beneficial, he doesn't, can't really work too much. He can kind of go back to basics and just see the ball, hit the ball. The fact that he wasn't able to swing all offseason and then got hurt after kind of a short spring training, he's still working his way back. So I think he's a big key. Just his defense is there. He's going to be in the starting lineup regardless every day just for his defense alone. But if he can just get to, 60% of what the MVP season was or what his rookie season was, then the Dodgers are going to be in a good spot overall. So I think it's just those two are the keys beyond health, because everyone else has either had been good overall or, been shown things that they're good at. And then obviously Tony Gonsolin probably being the other one, but we talked about him at length last week. So, we know what the Dodgers need to get out of him and what he needs to do. And he took a step back with his last start. But hopefully this break will refresh him and he'll be able to give the Dodgers those innings that they need in the second half.
Yeah, and a lot of what we need from Gonsolin is going to depend on what they do at the trade deadline, because, if he's a fifth starter, that's different than if they need him to be their third starter, which right now he's their number three starter out of three, And so, what's needed from Gonsolin will a lot in a lot of ways depend on what the Dodgers do at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Quick news here. Shaken and Heyman have both tweeted that MLB and MLBPA have agreed to extend Trevor Bauer's leave through July 27th.
Okay. Cause I think his whatever legal hearing he's having is like on July 23rd.
Yeah. That's for the restraining order.
That makes sense. So yeah, we had talked last week about the options and option three that I laid out on last week's Spotify Green Room session was, you know, agreeing to this extended leave with the union, and then option four was a paid suspension. And it seems like if things haven't gotten more clarity by the 27th, that's probably the next step the league takes. Now that they've, you know, done the extended leave with the union, probably the next step would be a paid suspension while they figure things out. But yeah, I don't know if you saw the picture. Trevor Bauer was here in my state of Utah this week, down at, not near me, down in at Zion National Park, with his agent. Somebody tweeted out a picture of the two of them, Bauer walking around with a backpack and no shirt on, and kind of rocking the dad bod. Yeah, so he's alive. I think that's the first time anybody's seen him in public since he got put on leave originally. So yeah, just a weird situation, and unfortunately a situation the Dodgers aren't going to have any clarity on before the trade deadline probably. And so they probably have to move forward on the assumption that they're not going to have him for the rest of the season when they're looking at trades.
Yeah, you'd imagine that's the assumption they're under just based on what's been presented so far. It would take a lot on his side to prove otherwise, that he won't either be suspended, not just suspended, but also, you know, potentially a criminal case. So.
Yeah, what's your prediction for the Dodgers? Like, what's the your final National League West prediction standings? What do you think, Vince?
I'm going to go Dodgers, Giants, Padres. I think the Giants are deep enough to where they can play not great baseball. I mean, if they just play 500, they'll be at 95 or so wins, which means the Padres would have to play way above that since they're six games back of the Giants right now. So I think it'll stay that way, and I think they'll be the two wildcard teams, and it'll be Gausman, Yu Darvish for the chance to play the Dodgers.
That would be fun. That's I think that's my prediction too. The Padres, like, nothing would surprise me for the Padres. It wouldn't surprise me to see them bounce back and challenge the Dodgers for the division. It also wouldn't surprise me to see them end up, you know, 10 games behind the Dodgers and, you know, six games behind the Giants or whatever, and barely squeak into that second wild card spot. I think it's going to come down to, you know, like all the things we've talked about in the past, you know, keeping up this intensity for a whole season, all that stuff. So, Joe Holt, what do you think?
I was just going to make a comment on the schedule, the remaining schedule. I was looking at what Giants are going to be playing the rest of the season. Padres and Giants will play each other like three or four different series the last 6 weeks of the season. And then I think they still play Milwaukee twice, and they still need to play the Mets once or twice. So they've got some tough series the second half that's going to be tough on them.
Yeah, I think I saw something about strength of schedule. Like the Giants' July schedule is pretty easy other than the games against the Dodgers. But then, yeah, I think August and September are a little bit tougher for them. And it is going to, you know, with all, it might be bad timing for them because, you know, we've talked in the past about having to keep up for a long season when you are in your 30s, like everybody on the Giants is, you know. And so it might be a perfect storm going against the Giants where, you know, we're at the point in the season where we're starting to get tired anyway. And, oh, crap, now we have to play all these good teams in a row. I think it'll definitely test the Giants and see how real they are to have to go up against those teams in August and September.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. We will have future Dodgers talking about the Dodgers draft on Friday's episode, so look forward to that. As always, make sure to follow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family. Make sure to tell any Dodger fans in your life about Locked On Dodgers. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. To your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Giannis blocks the Suns' attempt from going up 3-1. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!